got so into it, I almost forgot to stand up. That was great. Would you please pray with me? Surprising and powerful God, may your Spirit move through this place as we remember together the giving of the Spirit in Jerusalem on Pentecost thousands of years ago. Connect us to that event and open our hearts and minds to receive the message you would have for us today. Amen. I have to start by saying I love Pentecost. I love the songs. I love the story, this miraculous, maybe a little scary event wherein the Spirit, as promised, shows up, turning the disciples into apostles. They go from students learning from Jesus about the kingdom of God to messengers empowered by the Spirit carrying the good news of the kingdom into the world. This is where the church begins. It's often referred to as the birthday of the church. In Sunday school, we even have a birthday party complete with birthday hats, a game of pin the flame on the head, lighting candles and singing happy birthday. After church last week, I told Reverend Dina that my sermon would probably be something like a part two to hers. The Ascension and Pentecost really go hand in hand. And we can never have too much of a good message, right? It's the gospel. Before we read today's scripture, let's review the events that led up to the Pentecost story. The disciples have seen their teacher and friend arrested, tried, and publicly executed. Then suddenly, he's alive again. And the opening chapter of Acts tells us he spent 40 days appearing to them, speaking about the kingdom of God. And during that time, Jesus instructed the disciples not to leave Jerusalem because, he said, they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then the last thing he says to them before ascending is that they will receive power from the Holy Spirit and that they will be his witnesses, first in Jerusalem and eventually to the ends of the earth. So, following Jesus' instructions, the disciples remain in Jerusalem. And not only the disciples, but Jews from all over the world are gathered there for the festival of Shavuot, one of three Jewish pilgrimage festivals. Shavuot means weeks in Hebrew, and it falls exactly 7 weeks after Passover, 50 days, hence its Greek name, Pentecost. Shavuot began as an agricultural festival celebrating the harvest of first fruits, a gathering of bounty and a promise of blessing. Over time, it also became associated with the giving of the Torah to Moses for the Israelite people on Mount Sinai. And we'll circle back to that in a bit. But for now, let's hear the Pentecost story as told in the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That prophecy that Peter references from Joel is something, isn't it? Blood and fire and smoky mist. Wow. But there they are. So what? Jesus goes up and the Spirit comes down. Presumably the disciples were expecting something to happen since Jesus told them that the Spirit would come and give them power, but I can't imagine they knew what that would look like. After all, Jesus only said that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Not a very precise description. So very Jesus of him, leaving them with hope and uncertainty. But here they are, Jesus is gone once again, and they wait expectantly for the Spirit to show up, and boy, does it. A sound like the rush of a violent wind, fills the space where they're gathered. Then flames appear on each of their heads. We know that fire is one symbol of God's presence. When God first appears and speaks to Moses, it's in the burning bush on Mount Horeb. Most scholars have come to believe that Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai are the same mountain. For God from the burning bush tells Moses that once Moses has brought the Israelite people out of slavery in Egypt, he shall serve God on this mountain. And remember that the festival of Shavuot, Pentecost, was a celebration and remembrance of the giving of the law. It was on Mount Sinai that Moses received the law, and the book of Exodus describes it like this. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. So as part of God's instructions, Moses and the Israelites set up the tabernacle, the place where they believed God's presence resided. Last week, we heard that clouds are also a sign of God's presence. Hear this description from Exodus. The cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night. Fire. God's presence where God dwells. So a violent wind fills the space where the disciples are gathered, and tongues of fire rest on each of their heads. God reveals that God doesn't dwell just in the tabernacle, but God actually dwells within each one of them and within each one of us. And the Spirit gives them the ability to communicate with every person gathered in Jerusalem. The tongues of fire ignite their tongues, and they're able to speak to each person in the language that they understand. My friends, the world is in no less need of the good news now than it was then. All of us are disciples, learning, becoming apostles, carrying God's message. We are learning about God's kingdom, and we're called to live it out. A world in which each person is valued and included and loved and affirmed is God's kingdom. Jesus, in his life, ministry, and resurrection, showed us how to do this perfectly. But of course, not any one of us will do it perfectly on our own. It takes every one of us to be the body of Christ. Together, just as the first apostles did, we are able to communicate with every person. What language are you called to speak? This could be an actual foreign language. I used to love commuting on the subway in New York City when I lived there. On one train car, I could hear many different languages being spoken. How cool would it have been to begin speaking in one of them? On the seminary campus today where we live, we have neighbors from Korea, Afghanistan, and Ukraine. Google Translate can be a godsend for communication sometimes. And when we need it, Deborah makes our service accessible to our deaf siblings. Speaking in another language is a real gift from the Spirit, and it's not what all of us are called to. I don't think that's what our scripture is trying to tell us. All of us together are the body of Christ, empowered by the Spirit, with the ability to reach different groups of people. So what language do you speak? I have observed members of this congregation spreading the good news. As Reverend Dina reminded us last week, and as Martin Luther is reported to have said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. There are people in this congregation preaching the gospel through packing and delivering food boxes, through advocacy at the Capitol on behalf of trans children and their families, on behalf of those with disabilities. There are people in this congregation preaching the gospel by working with our children and young people. Our deacons work to reach every person in this congregation to keep us all connected and praying for one another. Where are you called? What ability has the Spirit given you? In Sunday school, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which I love. I know I've mentioned the fruit of the Spirit in many a sermon, but I just think it's good. Do you guys know the fruit of the Spirit over there? Margaret, Naomi, Levi. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are there places in your life where the Spirit is giving you the ability to produce those fruits? Speak to your neighbors. Provide for those in need. Love the ones that society says are unlovable. We can do this. Let us make the presence of God known and available to all. In the Pentecost story, the giving of the Spirit is huge, not to be missed. No one in that room or indeed in that area could have missed it. So on our journey from disciples to apostles, how is the Spirit showing up for us if not in a dramatic event like the first apostles experienced? The Spirit may come to you in a quiet moment. The Spirit may come to you in an ecstatic moment. Whatever it is for you, be open to it, embrace it, and take the gospel into a hurting world. I don't want to neglect the part of our scripture that acknowledges there were people in the crowd in Jerusalem who didn't believe what they were witnessing. They sneered, it says. We still experience that today, don't we? There are people who don't believe us when we tell them that trans people are to be respected, that they know who they are. There are people who don't believe us when we tell them that perhaps more guns are not the answer. But just like the first apostles, we must persist in spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. The truth of Christ, of love, is on our side. Let the Holy Spirit ignite within you. Let it set your tongue on fire. And may there be a renewed Pentecost in this city, in this country, and in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.